Good morning. We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church here at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our next community meal will be Saturday, March 16th, from 5 to 7 p.m. Please come and eat and fellowship with everyone. We love sharing with our community here at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Parents, we will be hosting an Easter egg hunt on Saturday, March 23rd at 10 a.m. Please come and bring your little ones to 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. And then come back the next day.
Hallelujah.
On Sunday, March 24th, from 4 to 6 p.m., as we will be teaching the kids what Jesus went through on His way to die on the cross for us. Once again, we are at 333 South Chestnut Street, here in Seymour. This morning's scripture reading will be from Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, which will be found in your pew Bibles on page 643 for those who like to follow along. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. This morning's sermon is entitled, There is a Miracle in Your Mouth. And it will be given by Pastor Gary Dyer.
All right. Praise the Lord. I'm a little weak this morning, but in my weakness, He's made strong. And I have a witness. I'm used to... Sorry.
Amen.
Glory to God. Yeah, I was in the chicken house the other day, and somebody said, I heard you on the radio, so they're listening. They're listening. If you wonder what's going on. But did anybody happen to see some wood down here on the altar? Did you wonder, what has He done now? Well, I tell you what. There's a miracle in your mouth. And I'm just now, as I've been called into the ministry back in 1990, long before I ever went to Bible school, God called me into the ministry, and I'm not bragging, but back then I said, me, this guy, and I had done everything wrong. There's 10 commandments, I think, and I probably broke 11 of them. And it's a privilege to be here today, and I'm new to you, and you're new to me, most of you, but sometimes God asks me to do things, or the Spirit nudges me to do things, and I say, well, God, if I do that, they're going to think I'm crazy. And He doesn't give me the argument. And if those are Bible students, you know that those that were the disciples, they did some crazy stuff. You guys need to read this Bible and find out how crazy stuff they did. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So if you love it, you'll eat the fruit of it. Is that not what it said this morning? Glory to God. So I want to thank God. I'm here for Jesus. I'm not here for entertainment. I'm not here because what I look like. I'm here for Jesus. And you say, well, what about that? Well, it's the only guy that ever showed up in my life when it looked impossible to save my nasty self. The only guy that ever walked out into a Vietnam battlefield when we were being overrun and said, I'll get you home. Is anybody with me? You're going to hear some passion in my voice today. And this message may sound different. There's a miracle in your mouth. So you begin to think during the day, what I speak, they said, well, what you eat, you become. What you speak, you will be. So I'm catching on to these things today that if I think about, if I'm speaking death, I'm going to eat the fruit of death. Now, I laid in the hospital, and my wife came in, and they said, there's blockage and there's damage in my heart. And she walked in that day, and the doctor, she said, I want to know what the report is. This is my husband. Thank God my wife is spirit-filled. and has the word in her. Is anybody with me today? If you can holler amen, that's all right with me. I'm used to amen. Glory to God. I better be quiet. But when she walked in, the doctor gave the report, there's blockage and there's damage, 2005, and we're going to go in and have to do whatever we do. You stay by the phone. Well, he walked out, had the stuff on. They had prepped me for surgery, and she said, well, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, who's going to believe the report of the Lord? She said, are you going to believe that report? And I said, yes. Well, a great man of faith laying in bed and all hooked up. I had a tear in my eye. And she said, good, now we can pray. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And any tongue that rises up against you, we shall condemn it today. When she prayed, I immediately felt better. Is anybody with me? She brought a miracle in her mouth. If she had walked in and said, well, I'm sorry, Dad, it looks like you're going to die, then they would have been preparing for my funeral. Is anybody with me today? Now, when I went into infantry training, they told me I was the best. I went through 18 weeks of training. They said, you're the best. You can do anything. You're infantry. I began to believe it. I can do it all. And I believed it. Is anybody with me? What I'm telling you today, you need to start believing it, because I brought the wood in, and this was a representation of the body of Christ. In fact, it's probably what I was before I got filled with the Spirit. And you would say, well, I don't see nothing. Well, I see the wood. And I'm just going to get down here and get warm. Wait a minute. You're probably looking at that boy's crazy. Well, why can't I get warm around this pile of wood, this campfire? There's no fire. See, I was cold as ice. My mama taught me to pray when I was a boy, 8:30 every night. Now I lay me down to sleep. My mother taught me to pray 8:30 every night. And she sowed seed. That's my job today, is sowed seed. I preached two Sundays ago. And I was driving through Seymour praying over the hospital, and I have a habit of doing that now. I'm speaking into the hospital, miracles and signs and wonders, praying over the doctors and nurses, the patients, the workers that are there. At the cancer center, I begin to speak the word. Are you hearing what I'm doing today? I begin to speak the word over the cancer center. Let cancer not be named in Seymour anymore. Are you understanding? I'm speaking a miracle in my mouth. The message is in my mouth. Now, when I sat in the bar after the war, I was cussed and carried on, and woe is me with everybody else. Woe is me. And Jack Daniels was not my friend, and not with the cigarettes or the stuff that I consumed. But there's a hole in everybody on the earth. There's an empty spot in every man and woman on the earth that only God can fill. Amen. In John 14 and 12, he said, verily, verily, that means truly. Truly, God is saying, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Did you hear that? What Jesus was doing, he did for a purpose. Everybody knows that. And when he left, he said, now that I've done what I'm going to do, it's finished. He said, now it's up to... Yeah, it's me. We just did it. The hands and feet of Jesus. We just heard those children. Oh, God, hallelujah. Man, praise the Lord. When I got saved, Brother Gordon, I used to stand on the street corner with a big red, Barks Big Red, and Slow Gin. I shouted, carried on, got wild, fought and carried on, and got beat up people, and got a broken hand. Why am I saying that? Because when God got a hold of me, I saw somebody that's going to be loud, and somebody that's going to, I can feel with the Spirit, and somebody that will take it and won't shut up, hallelujah, and he's going to do what I tell him to do. So I'm practically doing the same thing, only I'm not doing it with slow gin. You say, well, the preachers ain't supposed to talk that way. I can't help it. I may be a little bit different than a lot of preachers because I just can't get stiff like they do. Yes, I was at a church one day and a guy said, I don't want children running around the church. And I said, well, you won't have a church after very long. Anybody with me? See, what we're speaking today, I'm speaking life. I'm speaking life. My wife is ill today, but I prayed for her last night and this morning. I said, you are healed. The Bible said he was wounded for my transgression. He was wounded for my iniquities. The peace of my chastisement was upon him. And the stripes upon his back, we are healed. Did you hear that? Healed. I'm healed. I may not look like it, Brother Gordon, but I'm healed. I'm declaring my healing today. I am decreeing and declaring my healing today. Amen. And greater works, he said, than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Jesus went back to the Father, and he said, God, now it's up to Gary. Man, I tell you, I watched a Billy Graham classic yesterday sometime. A classic. And he looked like he was about 40 or so or somewhere in there. And the more I watched him, then I began to weep because the Word was affecting me. Does that make sense? The Word was affecting me, and he's passed away, but the Word was affecting me. And I was counting the pews when I got in here. I said, Lord, if everybody knew what the Holy Spirit was like when he touched you, these would be full. If everybody knew what it was like to be touched by the Holy Ghost, these places would be full. If people, some folks in church would knew what it would feel like to be filled with the Spirit, they would be on fire. Does this sound a little crazy to you? I pray it does. In verse 13 in John, it said, John chapter 14, verse 13, hallelujah, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, I'm getting old enough now, I'm trying to get everything in order because I'm going to see him one day. And I look up because I want to see him in peace. Brothers and sisters, we're going to meet him, but we're going to meet him in peace. Is that correct? Man, I want to run to him and say, oh God, hallelujah. My wife said, what are you driving to church today? Take the car. I said, no, I'll drive my old van. What are you going to drive to church? I said, I'll drive that old van. I said, I don't care anymore. I don't care about it. You think, well, where's his Cadillac? I don't care anymore. I'll drive an old van. I'm wearing probably a jacket from somewhere. Glory to God, I don't know. Probably made in China, maybe. I don't. JCPenney. But I had a card. You know, the Word is so important. It's so important that when God spoke to Mary, he spoke the Word into her and said, you're going to have a baby, not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. And she said, well, by your word, I'll receive it. She didn't say, I'm not having a kid. She received the word. Are you receiving the word today? The word is power. Amen. He said, you receive power. And it says this. Let me go back to St. John here. St. John 1 and 1. Everybody knows this verse. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So if I'm speaking the Word today, whether it's going out into the radio audience or here or out into Seymour, City of God, I'm speaking it. I'm speaking it. I'm speaking it because the Word is God. If I'm speaking the Bible and it's going into my heart and my mind and I'm speaking it out here, then I'm speaking God. I shall live and not die. When my wife spoke those words, I told the doctor, I'm healed. I don't need this surgery. I'm healed. Listen to me. My wife prayed for me and spoke. Is anybody with me? Spoke the word at me. I could be dead now, but she spoke. Does this make sense? My wife spoke the word at me. And she's full of the Spirit. And I was healed. And I said, I don't need your surgery. He didn't believe me. See, he had all that knowledge, all that 10, 12 years of knowledge in there. No, you got to have it. I said, I don't need it. No, you got to have it. He hollered at me. They took me down the aisle. I said, I don't need this surgery. And the nurse said, what's the matter with you? I said, I don't need your surgery. God healed me. And she reached around and jammed that needle into that IV. And I said, what is that? And she said, liquid Valium. I went, everything is beautiful in its own way. I just went a-sailing. Calm as a house cat. And they went in there and whatever they did. And then they come back in the room and I was just as happy. And my wife, they looked at my wife. The same doctor said, I don't understand. There's no blockage. There's no damage. He said, I don't understand. Do you understand? He had 12 years of, I don't knock doctors, but he didn't understand. He could not understand. I said, God heal me exactly the way she prayed it. So if you're sick today, speak healing. If you're depressed today, start speaking the word of God. I am healed, I'm whole, I'm saved. Don't you think your pastor, what she has to deal with is because the enemy a lot of times come along and said, you ain't nothing. You're just a woman. Look at you. You feel bad too much. I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock and began to praise to be here. I said, God, I need you. I need the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm between a cry and a shout. Has anybody ever been there? God's the only one that ever made me cry and laugh at the same time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you need the what? I'm going to pack some wood around today, but I ain't getting warm around this thing unless the fire falls. Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel and all them false prophets had gathered around. And he said, you guys go ahead and cut your beef up and lay it on there and call down your false god. He said, Baal, which is going on today. He said, you call on your god. And they just danced around and finally they cut themselves and bleeding and everything. Come, Baal, come on down, come on down. And Elijah said, well, maybe he's in the bathroom. He made fun of him. That's what you and I did, make fun of these false gods they're trying to bring on us today. There's only one God. There's only one God. And there's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. After he got making fun of them, they kept on dancing and dancing. He said, are you all done? He said, now, let me cut up some bullock. Let me cut up some beef. And let me put the wood on the altar and dig a trench around it. And he laid the wood out and had it all ready to go. And he said, now, y'all bring some water over here and pour on the... I didn't bring water with me today. Maybe I should have. But he poured water on the altar. Now, if you look at Luke 1 and 37, it said, for with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Can you say that today? Nothing is impossible with God. With God, nothing is impossible. If you get anything today, think of that. Nothing's impossible. Well, you're looking at impossible today. You're looking at miracle today. You're looking at somebody. I still think, God, I'm doing what you called me to do, but do you know who this is? So after he wetted down that altar three times, then he stood back and he said, let the God, now I want a fire trinity. He said, let the God that answered by fire be the God that we'll serve. And the fire failed. Not only did it fall, it consumed the wood, it consumed the beef, it consumed the altar, it consumed the water and the rocks and everything around it. And then they killed those false prophets. Wow. You know, when they speak the word, when God speaks the word, it comes to pass, right? Does it come to pass? He said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So this ground that we're on belongs to God. This building belongs to God. I don't care who claims this building today. You may get mad at me, but this building belongs to God. I was in the church one day and he said, this belongs to... I said, no, it belongs to God.
No, it don't.
Hallelujah. Well, let me add that too. You belong to God also. He loves you so much. He loves us so much that when I cried out on that battlefield that day, I just cried out because there was more of them than us and everybody was being taken away. And I got real scared and I was just 19 years old and I, I was on my knees at that bank, and I said, God, I don't want to die in this hellhole. And guess what? It's like he said, okay. But what did it take? It took the word out of my mouth for the miracle to begin to happen. Does that make sense? When my wife spoke the word, the miracle began to happen. They would have went in and tore me up. I might have a pacemaker or somebody else's heart or something going on with me today. I'm getting excited now. She spoke the word. Spoke the word. A long time ago, I was in church and the guy come in. He said, my truck won't start. It's out there. It won't start. And he said, okay. Somebody said, well, go out there and pray over it. Okay. Excuse me, I'm a little dry today. But a little bit later, sure enough, he came back in. He said, guess what? It started. I said, wow, that's precious. So the word works, doesn't it? Glory to God. And Peter, I don't know if I shared this with you, but Peter was heading to church. Like you and I, he was heading to church. But he was full of the Spirit. Is anybody with me? He was full of the Spirit. You got to have fire in you to do something. You got the miracle in your mouth, but you got to have... Did anybody stop for gas today? I did. I looked down at that thing, I better stop or I'll be walking to church. And I have to put gas in that thing, Brother Gordon. And usually I can't get it full because I ain't got enough money with me today, but I got more on me now, so I get it full. But you got to have the fire in you. 5 o'clock this morning, I said, God, start a fire at Trinity. Are you listening to me today? Start a fire at Trinity. That's what I was asking. Start a fire in me. Start a fire in Trinity. I love you guys. Don't be mad at me. I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't even mad at them Vietnamese anymore. You don't know how mad I was. But God sent me back 2004 to speak the word to them. Oh, I wish somebody would get this. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I did not take a rifle with me in 2004. I took the word, the miracle of God back in me because God filled me with the Holy Spirit. No more Jack Daniels. It was God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when Peter was heading to church, he just wanted to go to church. And there sat that guy along at the church. Hey, give me something. Has anybody ever been on the steps of the church? There was a bum on the steps. There's a hobo on the steps. What if you walk by and say, come in and said, hey, Pastor Angel, there's a hobo on the steps out there, and he stinks. What are we going to do with him? Give him a sandwich. I'm getting a little Kentucky down. Give him a sandwich. Does God love a hobo? Oh, Jesus. He's asked me to do things. I went through Reddington and I began to think about hitchhikers. And I said, you know, I ain't picking up hitchhikers. You know, you just never know, they're bad. And I come out of Reddington around the curve and guess what? I said, oh, golly, Lord. So I pulled over and picked him up. I said, God was dealing with me about a hitchhiker before I got there. Wow. God's been dealing with my sister Peggy a long, long time. The one that was in the wreck. About a center for pregnant ladies to have their babies and not do an abortion, but to either keep it or give it away. She's had that vision for a long time. And there's a whole story with it because when she was 15, I won't go into all that, God began to deal with her when she was 15 through tragedy to bring her to a place where there's victory. And he began to give her a dream. And I thought this morning, why would he give her a dream? And let me tell you what I thought about this. She said something about the dream. And I called her up and I said, you made a statement the other day about she has a house now, temporary kind of, until fruition comes to pass. But her dream came to pass because she believed it. In her heart and in her mind, and she began to speak it, her dream. And I thought, why would she have a dream like that and have it in North Vernon? And I called her up, and she said, Jennings County I ain't putting nobody down now, has the highest percentage rate in schools in all of Indiana. Wow. I ain't putting nobody down. But she's like a midwife, the guy preached the other day. You want to save a baby? Yes. You want to save a life? Yes. That's what ministry is about. True religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows. You know that? That's what the Bible said. Glory to God. Let me get back to Peter. He's on his way to church. And there's a guy sitting by the road just begging, begging on the streets of Trinity out here. Hey, give me something. Give me something. And they just looked at him. I ain't got nothing to give you. In fact, they said, silver and gold have I thee none. I don't have that to give to you, but such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk. And he grabbed him and said, get up. He had the Holy Ghost in him and he spoke the word. And what did that guy do? He got up and did a little Elvis thing. And then he went to church. Come on, and he went to the house of God, the synagogue, and began to praise the Lord. He began to shout the victory for glory of God. Hallelujah. That's what I long to see. I got that old box truck that somebody gave me the other day, and thank God it was a gift. And on the back door, which is 8 foot by 7 foot, as big as you can see, it said, Jesus loves you. John 3:16. Couldn't put anything better on that thing. Because I drive around just picking stuff up, not bragging, but people come to me and said, my sister saw that sign and it made a difference in her life. I was at the dollar store and he said, hey, this lady came in. She said, I saw a truck and it said, Jesus loves me. He said, that does it. I'm about to blow up. See, she's seeing the word and the word affects them. Because they begin to realize Jesus really loves me. He really loves me or he wouldn't have saved me. And that old boy had been, since he was born. I don't know if anybody ever messed with him or invited him to church. Anybody ever gave him a sandwich? Or anybody ever gave him a nickel? Or anybody ever gave that old dirty boy something? But they said, well, I don't have any money to give you. But what I'm giving you is Jesus. And that's what you and I are here for today. I'm not here for entertainment. I ain't a great entertainer, but man, I got something in me the world can't take away. I got something in me now that just better than any other drug or alcohol or cigarette or whatever I had to try to put in me to dull the Vietnam War. The best thing that God ever did to me, he set me free. Hallelujah. He set me free. Hallelujah. You say, well, so what? He didn't take away the memory, brothers and sisters. He took away the hurt. You understand what he would do for you? My sister was hurt at 15, and then the car wreck came along and just about killed her. But something was inside of her that kept saying, Peggy, keep going on, keep going on. I got a plan for you, like Jeremiah said. I got a plan for your life. I'm thinking good about you, Peggy, and I'm not thinking bad about you, but I got something for Peggy to do. I got something for Gary to do. I got something for Mary Ellen to do. Glory to God, is anybody with me today? I got something for you to do. Build a fire at Trinity. Oh, all I can tell you is that if you keep it up, the fire's going to fall. How you do that? The other day I was walking around your building. Send your fire, Lord. Send your fire today. There's a song like that. You walk around the building and declare fire. Declare victory. Walk around your house and declare victory. Open up the door and tell the devil you've got victory. There ain't no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and any tongue that rises up against me, I shall condemn it. I say it every day, maybe 10 times a day. I say that word today. You can say it today. There's no weapon formed against me. Yes. In the beginning was the Word. The very start of everything, the Word was there. Let there be light. Just think of that. God spoke light into, but it wasn't until the fourth day He created the sun and the moon. What light was there? What fire? I mean, it's here, brothers and sisters. You may not feel it now, but it's here. The fire is here if you'll just stir the gift up inside of you. If you'll begin to pray and cry out to God, kapow, it'll be in your house. It'll be like me, 1 o'clock in the morning, I leap to my feet and holler, this is it. I got filled with the Spirit in Columbus, Indiana, in my underwear. Been to church till midnight, praying for the Holy Ghost. I said, I'm not leaving this place until I get the Holy Ghost. At midnight, I left going because I was tired. Sis, I was tired. I was wore out. I went home and laid in the bed, and I cried at the God. I said I wouldn't leave until I got the Holy Ghost. And I had the Bible. This right here. This has been with me everywhere. This one, I got others, but this one's been with me.